All right, we're on the bottom of Pei Tet Amud Bet. The Gemara is starting with Amar Ula, three lines from the bottom, is discussing the Braita that we just brought before. The Braita before mentioned that HaMemaneh Acharim Imo Al Pischo, someone who asks other people to join him on his Pesach, then they can pay him to join the Pesach, and the money is Chulin. He can do with it as he pleases. Ula asked the question that we raised yesterday, the difficulty with that, which is, Amar Ula, V'item Rabu Shaya, Efshar Yadai Chavran Bavlai, maybe those over in Bavel know, Taima Dahai Milta. The reason behind this Breita that we just said before, which is, Zehi Frish Tled Pischo, the owner separated out a lamb to be his Pesach. So he made that Kodesh. Vezehi Frish Ma'ot Pischo. The other individuals who want to buy into the Pesach, they separated out money, and they said, this is Hekdesh to take the Korban Pesach. So in a normal scenario of Hekdesh, in that case, if you're Makdish the money, then you would take that money and purchase an animal with the money. The Kedusha would transfer from the money onto the animal, and the money would be Chulin. But in this case, the animal itself is already Kodesh, because he already made it into a Korban Pesach. And he says, hey, Hekdesh Chala Hekdesh. How is it that the money that's Hekdesh purchases the animal that's Hekdesh? Tani Ma'ot Shiviyado Chulin. And the money goes out to Chulin. How is it possible that you have a transference of Kedusha to Kedusha, and then you end up with Chulin in the end? There's nothing where the money or the Hekdesh can be Chal or be Nitpas that it should leave the money. So it seems to be an unusual circumstance that we allow the money to lose the Kedusha despite the fact that the animal he's purchasing is already Kodesh. We know that it's a problem because the next line in that Braita is, if you sell your Ola or your Shlamim, it doesn't work. You're not allowed to sell those items. That's even when you're talking about Ma'ot Chulim, but you can't sell those items. But especially if it's Ma'ot Hekdesh, there's no way to transfer the Kedusha. So Mar Abaye. Abaye now is going to give his answer, but at the same time he's giving his answer, he's going to contrast that with an answer that came from Rabbi Hoshaya. So he's going to say his answer versus Rabbi Hoshaya's answer. In the end, he'll have to defer to Rabbi Hoshaya because Abaye is a later Amora, saying basically, this is the answer that Rabbi Hoshaya gave, but I would have answered differently. Jazam Rabbi, Ilav Dukme Rabbi Hoshaya, Lahai B'mane Zona Al Pisco. Had it not been for the fact that Rabbi Hoshaya set this case up as a case where he had a Zona join him on his Pesach, V'Rabbi he, and the author of the position is Rabbi Havel Mekminin Law. I would have set it up. That Kodshim Kalim are the money of the Balim. What we're talking about here is a din in the Torah called Etnan Zona. Etnan Zona is the wages of a harlot. A person is not allowed to use what we call Etnan Zona to bring as a korban on the mizbeach. It's one of the two things or two items that are mentioned there. Mechir kelev, if it was used to exchange for a dog, as the purchase of a dog, or etnan zona is the wages of the harlot. So if you use the korban pesach or use any korban to pay for the wages of the harlot, that cannot be brought on the mizbeach. But we have an instance or we have a situation in which it does work and it affects the korban. You have a korban already, and you pay the zonah, and it affects the korban. What is that scenario? Where is there a scenario where you can give the wages to the harlot, make her a partner on your korban, and it ruins the korban? What's the problem? Problem is that ein adam oser davar sheino shelo. Person cannot make a source something that doesn't own. Maybe we have this all the time in Shas. You can't affect other people's property in terms of isur. The only time you can create an isur, if it's your property, you own it. So over here, if a person is going to have an etnan zona that comes and joins onto a korban, how is he able to make the korban asur? It's not his. It's hekdesh. It doesn't belong to him. So what we have to do is come up with a scenario within kodashim where he owns the korban. So there are two scenarios here, one offered by Rabbi Hoshaya and one offered by Abaye. Rabbi Hoshaya suggests that the situation is here. It's our case here. It's a korban ha-pesach, aliba derabi. The Korban Pesach according to Rabbi, and that's what we saw before, that the Korban Pesach, you're allowed to sell it, and the Ma'ot are Chulin. Well, if you're allowed to sell your portions in the Korban Pesach and the Ma'ot are Chulin, that means that you have ownership in this Korban Pesach. If that's the case, if you use it for wages of a harlot, for Nanzuna, you have impact on the Korban Pesach, because you have ownership inside this Korban Pesach. That's the suggestion of Rabbi Hoshaya as the solution to that problem. That has implications, which we'll speak about in 1 second. Abaye says, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said Korban HaPesach is Kodesh, And you can't do that. The etnan zonah will have no impact over here. But rather, I will say that the situation is kochim kalim alibed Rabbi Yossi Galili. Rabbi Yossi Galili believes by kochim kalim, lighter forms of ektesh, lighter forms of ektesh, shlamim, todah, it's all the kochim kalim that we have, including Pesach is one of the kochim kalim, are what do you call mamon balim. It's still under the ownership of the balim. It doesn't transfer to hektesh yet. It's machloket him and the chachamim as to whether kochim kalim are mamon hektesh. They already belong to hektesh like kochei kodashim. Or do they remain under the ownership of the ba'alim? It has implications in terms of achrayut, responsibility. If it gets lost, something happens to it. One of these implications is, can he make it asur? According to Rabbi Yossi Galili, the answer would be yes, that he could make it asur because it's his mamon, it's his money. So Ba'i says, if I had to solve this problem of etnan zonah on a korban that's already a korban, and he can make it asur, I would have said the solution is it's Rabbi Yossi and it's kochim kalim. That's one. Rabbi Oshaya says, no, the way I'm going to solve that problem, or where that case is a scenario where it's a korban at Pesach, alib de Rabbi. Now Rabbi is this case over here that we just had, the case where he sells out his korban at Pesach, and the money becomes chulin. He can do whatever he wants with it, makes it, that's his. Seems like he has full ownership. So Rabbi Oshaya suggests, that braita is teaching us that you have a full ownership within the korban at Pesach, enough ownership to make it a sur. Now, according to Abaye, Abaye will not say that Rabbi Yossi Galili is the author of our braita over here. He can't say that, because our braita, the next line of our braita is, Hamofer lo tov shlamav, doesn't work. According to Rabbi Yossi Galili, he could sell his shlamim, because it's mamon balim hu. So the fact that the latter half of the braita says that Hamofer olav shlamim is a sur, that means Rabbi Yossi Galili is not the author of the Braita. According to Abaye, Rabbi is also the author of the Braita, but for a different reason. And this is key. This is key to the whole sugi. The remaining part of today's Amud here is all about this difference, which is why. Why is it that the Korban Pesach, when you sell it, the motar chulin? According to Rabbi Shaya, it's because the animal itself is not fully hekdesh. You, when you're makdishit, leave a residual in the animal. And in leaving a residual in the animal, that's what you say you can sell. So you make it not totally hekdesh. You build in a condition when you're makdish the animal that I leave over some piece of that to be chulin, and then you sell that off as you people come in and buy it. So that's Rabbi Oshaya's suggestion, that you leave a residual opening in your korban, that when you're makdish it, it's only for your purposes, but anything else that you sell out will be chulin. That's Rabbi Oshaya's view. Abaye's view is, no, the reason Rabbi says it works over here is because not... because the animal's not, the animal's completely hekdesh. The people who are makdish their money to use for Korban HaPesach have a condition built in, which is that this money is for Korban HaPesach in one of two ways. Either I'm going to buy an animal that's chulin and I'll make it kodesh, or I'm going to pay someone who already has a Korban HaPesach and that money will be remain chulin. The money will be chulin. I'm going to give the money to him basically as a gift in order to buy my position on this Korban HaPesach. But the reason that the money is chulin is not because the animal has any residual chulin in it, but rather because the money itself was not hekdesh. They left over some residual in that money to make it chulin. So that's a key difference between Abaye and Rabbi Oshaya. It has to do with the way they explain this issue of etnan zonah. Because once you've done that, then you determine what Rabbi's position is here in this braita. Okay, that's the key to the sugya here, understanding that difference, because that's how the sugya is going to run. All right, so that's the key to this sugya. So now I'll read it again from the beginning on Sadi. So there we have it. Amar bai, ilav dukmei Rabbi Oshaya lahai b'memanez. So now, apisko is a case where he puts a harlot onto his Pesach, v'rabi hi. And that's why the etnan zonah takes effect, is because you have residual ownership left in your korban Pesach. Havo mokwinila, I would have set up the case of etnan zonah lahai b'kochim kalim. But leave it to Rabbi Yossi Galili. By kochim kalim, Rabbi Yossi Galili. That's why you have residual ownership here and you can make it a sur, is because it's kochim kalim. Damar kochim kalim mamon balimhu. Aval. Bepesach, in the base of Pesach, lo mishayir inchish. When a person's makdish is garment of Pesach, it's fully hektish. You don't have any residual of it. Bebaot vaday mishayir inish. On the other hand, in the money, the people who come to buy their garment of Pesach, they're makdish their money to buy their garment of Pesach, there they leave over that residual tonight. That's why it works over here. Dimi ikara ki mafrish luhu. When they separate out the money, adayat tadahachi mafrish luhu. With this in mind, that's how they separate out their money. Veha Rabihi, and this is Rabbi. This is Rabbi's position. That's why when you sell your portions of the Korban Pesach off to third parties, it is chulin the ma'ot, not because the Korban has any chulin in it, because the money that when they makdish is not just a piece, they made a condition in me makdish the money, that it's going to function in one of two ways. It's either going to be matpis onto an animal will be kodesh, or if the animal's already kodesh, then this money will remain chulin, and I'll pay the owner, and I'll get my share of the Korban Pesach. So he'll allocate me a portion of the Pesach. Umamaot vaday mishar yinsh. When it comes to money, people have that type of condition in mind. Vahai deka mukila raboshaya karabi. The way that raboshaya explains rabi, lo mikminan le ana karabi. I would not explain rabi in that way. Debepesach lo mishar yinsh. Because people, when they're makdish an animal, don't leave over a residual in the animal. When they makdish it fully. They don't say, it's on a condition that a part of it's chulin, or somebody buys in it's chulin. That they don't do. Vaha leke leukume Rabbi Yossi. And obviously Rabbi Yossi clearly cannot be the author of our Braita here. Da taniba, because of the latter half of the Braita, which I mentioned before, which is Vamocher loto shlamav lo asav lo klum. Why not, according to Rabbi Yossi clearly, kochim kalim are mamon balim, and you should be able to sell a shlamim without any problem. The fact that the latter half of the Braita says you cannot sell a shlamim means Rabbi Yossi is definitely not the author of our Braita. So we both agree, Abaye and Rabbi Shaya say we both agree that Rabbi is the author of the Braita, but we differ as to the reason that it works in the Braita. So now that Rabbi Shaya says that it's a case where he's b'maneh zona piskol v'rabihi, shma mino desvirle, that he must hold the afilu piskol mishayirinish. Even within his Pesach, people leave over a residual. That's Abaye explaining the difference in their opinion. Rabbi Shaya says there's a residual left in the Korban. Abaye says, I say there's a residual left in the money. Then Mar says, Mahid Rabbi Shaya. Where is this Rabbi Shaya that Abaye is referencing that makes him say that I would have said this, but Rabbi Shaya says otherwise. That's not. Natan la muktashim be'etnana. If he gives her kodesh, an animal that's already kodesh, be etnanat. This is exactly what we were discussing before. What is this case where he can give it as an etnan? Hari elu mutarin. Those are totally mutar. Because it's not his. Ofot duchulin, hari elu surim. Ofot duchulim are, we're talking about here, birds that are ra'oi to go on the mizbeach. For instance, he gives a ben yonah or a tor to her as her payment. That's chulin. Then, a surin, meaning that you can't bring those as a korban now, because that's etnan zona. So what the Braita basically lays out for you is something that's already kodesh, you can't make into etnan zona. Something that's chulin, you can, because you can have the impact on you own it, you can make it into etnan zona, and then it cannot go on the mizbeach. Shaya bedin. We would have had a kavachomer. Oma im muktashim shamum pasel behem. When he's talking about regular hektesh, regular animals that are hektesh, a mum ruins them as a korban. Ein etnan u'mechir chalayhem. Etnan and mechir have no impact on them, obviously because you have no ownership over here. But ofot, she'en amun posel behem, ofot, birds where we say there's no such thing as tamut ve'zachrut be'ofot, there's no requirement with a bird that is brought on the mizbeach that a mum is not posel on a bird, only mechusar eivir, if it's missing a whole limb. But otherwise a mum doesn't affect a bird on the mizbeach, and also there's no difference between male and female. And the birds, we are indifferent as to male and female. So over there, where it's not, enudin shein et nana mechir chalayim, then certainly a nana mechir should have no impact on them because they are a lighter form of hekdesh. If it doesn't affect a higher form of hekdesh, which is animals, then certainly shouldn't affect these. Tamilomar, the chol neder, the rabot et ofot. It says the chol neder for any voluntary offering that comes to include the ofot. Tal v'chomer the muktashim. Well, now that we know that information, that anything you want to bring as a korban is problematic with Mechir Kelev and Etan Zunah, let's say it's a Kal V'chomer to something that's already Hekdesh, which is, Me'ata, Ma'o Fot She'ena Mum Posel Behem, Ofot, where the Mum has no impact to them, Etan Mechir Chalehem, we know it is effective with them because of the Chol Neder, Muktashim Sha'a Mum Posel Behem, Muktashim, where the Mum does affect them, Enu Din She'etnanu Mechir Chalehem, certainly the Etan Zunah Mechir Kelev should impact them. Tamal Omar, the Chol Neder, it says, for anything you want to bring as a korban, prat le nadur. That comes to exclude something that is already a neder, I mean already hekdesh. So the effect of mechir kelev and etnan zonah is only things that you can make into kodesh, not things that are already kodesh. The implications of the word neder are, neder teaches you that it has to be something you can make kodesh, not something that is already kodesh. So that it's effective in both ways. The birds can be kodesh, and the muktashim are already kodesh. So therefore, the chol neder means any type of korban, including birds. And neder tells you that it's something that can be a neder, not something that is already a neder. So those are the tulim yudim, and that's how we get to the conclusion of what the Braitha just said before. Only because the Torah specifically said neder. Halav hachi. Had it not been for the limud from the pasuk, avamina muktashim chal yisrael nan alehen. Then why did the Braitha have to go to that? I already explained this, but if you don't own the korban, then you can't make it into etnan zonah. Why is the Braitha looking for a limud that says the chol neder to teach you that you can't have etnan zonah by kodeshim? It should be automatic. It should be, right? It's a definition of kodesh, is that you don't own it. So there shouldn't be any etnan zonah over here. So based on that, why does the Braitha bring the chol neder? That teaches you, had you not had the chol neder, you would have been able to make it into etnan zonah. Bah! Ein adam oser davar sheino shelo. How do you do that? How do you make the kodesh into etnan zonah? Amar Rav Hoshaya. This is Rav Hoshaya's solution to the problem that Abaye didn't love. These are the two things. Ben mimane zonah pisko. It's a case where he has the zonah during his Pesach. Ve'rabihi. And it's Rabbi. Rabbi being the author of the Braita there, but we're going to hear, they're going to quote the direct quote from Rabbi now. Now Abaye's solution to this problem was, I would have said not like Rav Hoshaya, but rather, I would have said it's Rav Yossi Aglili, and it's Kochim Kalim, which is Mamon Balim. And that's why he could have made it into Etnan Zonah. But Rav Hoshaya, here's Rav Hoshaya's solution. My Rabbi, where is this limud? We keep mentioning Rabbi. In the Braita before we mentioned, Rabbi's not mentioned there. We're saying he's the author of that Braita, but where is Rabbi's position? Titania, have a Braita. Im imata bayit miot miseh. If the household has less than a seh's worth, the Pashtut of Pasuk, you would read it, it means that you don't have sufficient people in your house to eat an entire seh, then you join other people to your Korban HaPesach. The way Rashi reads it, im imata bayit means you don't have sufficient funds to pay for your Korban HaPesach, then you bring other people in to together you pay for your Korban HaPesach. Hecheyeo miseh, michtei achila v'lo michtei mekach. You're allowed to then sell off a portion of the Korban HaPesach to raise funds for your achila, but not for transactions. We'll get back to the definition of what this means. Rabbi Omer, ach michtei mekach. You can even sell it off on a transactional basis. Shim ein lo, if he doesn't have enough money, mimane acherim al pischo, he has someone else join his Pesach, val chiga gato, or his chagiga here is a chagiga judalid, umaot shebi ado chulin, and the money is chulin, exactly like what the Braita said yesterday. Shramat kein iktishu yisrael pischayim, because that is the built-in condition to the Korban Pesach. So you see here, based on that, that Rabbi says, and it does support Rabbi Shai's version of it, the Gemara will come back and ask this on Abaye, but it says that Rabbi basically says that it's a built-in condition when you're Makdish a Korban HaPesach that you can sell off a portion of it and the money is chulin. So that sounds like Rabbi Hoshaya. And this is Rabbi. Rabbo v'Rabbi Zeira argue about exactly what this machloket is between the Chachamim and Rabbi in this Braita. Chadamar beitzim litzliyato. We're talking about purchasing wood to roast your Korban HaPesach. He is now broke. He spent all his money on his Korban Pesach. But he needs to roast his Korban Pesach, and he can't afford the wood for his Korban Pesach. Kuli amo lo plege, everybody agrees, the kevin de takanto, should really be the pischa, who, since it's the takana of the Pesach, the gufa de pischa dummy, it's like the gufa de Pesach. You can sell off the Pesach to buy the wood to cook the Pesach, or to roast the Pesach, because that's considered to be almost a part and parcel to the Korban Pesach. Ki plege, the argument is b'matzah maror. What happens if he doesn't have matzah maror to eat with his Korban HaPesach? Rabbanan savrei, ha achila achrita hi. That is totally separate. That's an exogenous eating. Yes, you have to eat it together with the Korban HaPesach, but it isn't the Korban HaPesach. Rabbi savrei came to akshiro the Pesach, where you can't eat the Korban HaPesach without them, because you need al matzot umarim yochlu. Kegufa de pesach dami, it's like the gufa Pesach, and therefore you're allowed to sell off the Pesach for that reason. So what the argument about here is when we say, yeheyeo miseh, Hechiyo miseh means you make your living from the seh. Making your living is, we allow you to sell off a portion of your Korban Pesach to make it possible for you to do the Korban Pesach. How far does that go? That's the machlok between Rabbi and the Chachamim. But what they both basically agree, and Rabbi to an extreme, is that when you sell it off, the money's chulin. Otherwise, how could you buy the wood? How could you buy the matzah and maror with it? But it's clear that Rebbe takes the most extreme position there in being chulin.
But that's like reverse logic.
The answer is that they learn it out of the pasuk of Hechayo Miseh. that you're allowed to take your livelihood, meaning that you're allowed to sustain yourself through the Korban HaPesach. What does that mean, that you're allowed to sustain yourself through the Korban HaPesach? So there's a limitation. We're not going to let you make it into a free-for-all that you can sell it for anything you want. Only things that are shayach to the Korban and the Pesach. That's the first Amora. The second Amora is going to say exactly what I just said is impossible. It's going to say yes. Which is, v'chad amar, v'matzah moror, nami kuli amar lo plige. Everybody agrees. Wood for the Korban Pesach, matzah moror, all that is permissible. Tichtiv, motzot umarim yochlu. Tekevin de makshirin de Pesach, nu Pesach dami. Ki plige, likach bo chaluk, likach bo talit. He wants to buy himself a new outfit for Yom Tov. Can he do this? Can he do this with the money? Rabbanan Savri miyot miseh marachmana. Hecheyeu liseh. The only thing you're allowed to do is, we're learning it out of miyot miseh. So you're allowed to do hecheyeu liseh. You can do things that sustain or are relevant to the Korban HaPesach. That you're allowed to do. Rabbi Savar, hecheyeu atzmecha miseh. You take care of yourself in the Korban HaPesach, meaning you can do as you please with it. You don't have money now to get into a business transaction. You need the money. You need to be liquid. Go ahead. Sell off your Korban HaPesach. So according to this, clearly Rabbi believes the Ma'ot HaChulin. But it has to do with how they view what the Hecheyeh means. Hecheyeh Miseh means, is there a connection between the Hecheyeh and the Seh? So therefore it's defined. What you can do with the Seh is defined by the Seh itself. That's one possibility. Or Hecheyeh means take care of yourself. How do you do it? Miseh. From the Seh. So that's the two ways to read it. And that's Rabbi's version. Now that's Rabbi Oshayo. That's how Rabbi Oshayo got there. Now, Ule Abaye de Amar. Abaye said before, Ilav de Ukma Rabbi Yishayo. Had Rabbi Yishayo not said this, I be mumeneh mizonah al pischo. For Rabbi he, that's how he explained the Braita we just brought before, Hava miglila be kodshim kalim. I would have explained that Braita with kodshim kalim and leave it to Rabbi Yosef Galili. Damar kodshim kalim mamon balim. Because that's how he has a right to make it as swords, because it's mamon balim. Aval bepesach lo mishar inish. By a Pesach, we don't leave it over. Hak tani behedja. It does say explicitly in Rabbi's words, Shalmanad Tainik Dishu Israel at Pischayam, which sounds exactly like Rabbi Oshayah, that when you're Makdish the Pesach, you leave over a residual to sell it. So it sounds exactly like Rabbi Oshayah's explanation. What's a bayi going to do with that line in the Braita that Rabbi says? Ema, Shalmanad Tainik Dishu Israel, Ma'ot Pischayam. There's a word missing there, Ma'ot, which is, that's the condition by which people make their monies, Kodesh, for the Korban HaPesach, that they leave over a residual, meaning that they say, I'm either going to buy something and that'll transfer to Kedusha, or I'm going to leave it as Chulin and I'll buy into a Korban HaPesach. Okay, so this is the key to the sugi here, is this machlok between Abaye and Rabbi Oshayah. In the end, Abaye said, I would have said it. Obviously, he can't say it, because he's dealing with Tanaim and explanation. So he said, I would have said this, but that's not what happened. Rabbi Oshayah and Abaye are faced with an issue, which is that we have a Braita that suggests that non-zonah does not work on Kodashim because I have a pasuk to Chol Neder. The Gemara asks, and it seems obvious, that why do you need even a bright to tell you that the Chol Neder? It should be a sur, or it should have no impact because they are Kodashim and you don't own it. And that's why you can't make it a sur. So how come we have a bright that needs a Chol Neder when we're talking about Kodashim? Rabbi Oshaya's solution is to say, we're talking about a Korban HaPesach according to Rabbi, who says a Korban HaPesach has residual Kulin in it. And it's a case where you sold it off. You basically told the Zonah, as her wages, she gets a portion in your Korban HaPesach. That's what the case is, because there it's yours, and you can make it a sur. And that's what we need the Chol Neder for, to teach you it doesn't work there. The non-Zonah does not impact over there. Baye says, I wouldn't have gone to that extreme. I would have just said it was a case of Kodshim Kalim, Aliba Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Kodshim Kalim, Rabbi Yossi Aglili are Mamon Balim. And that's why you can make it a sur. That's what the Chol Neder comes to exclude and say no. That even though technically you have ownership here, the Chol Neder says, no, it doesn't work. Based on that, once we've taken that step, now, how do we explain Rabbi? Rabbi says that when you sell off your Korban, Pesach, the money is Chulin, and you can use whatever, do whatever you want with it. That money that's Chulin, how does that work? Well, according to Rabbi Yoshaya, it's very simple how it works. It works because you leave a residual in the Hekdesh of the Korban HaPesach. Just like when you sell it off to the Etnan Zonah, it has impact. So too, when you sell it off to a third party, it has the ability to be Chulin, or there's a residual Chulin in the Korban HaPesach. Abaye says, well, I didn't have to solve my problem with saying that in Rabbi, I can define Rabbi differently, which is, the Braita of Etnan Zonah, that's Rabbi Yosef Galili Kodshim Kalim. This over here, Rabbi's explanation, the reason that the money is Chulin is not because you leave a residual in the Korban Pesach, it's because when people make their money Hekdesh for Korban Pesach, they do it with this in mind, that either they're going to buy a Chulin animal and it'd be Matis, or the money is Chulin and they're going to give it as a present to the owner of the Korban HaPesach and he'll allocate them a portion of his Korban HaPesach. Alright, next Mishnah. So now we're going to do a little Tarot. To do half and half. Half the daf is Kodshim, the other half of the daf is Tarot. Zav Shirah Shteiriyot. We've discussed this many times. A Zav who has an emission, he can have one emission, two emissions, three emissions. If he has a single emission, he's the equivalent of a Mutzi Shechvat Zera, which means he has Tumat Erev. He goes to the mikveh that day, the sun sets on that day, it's a Erev Shemesh, and he is Tahor. He has two sightings, then he is a Zav, Baal Shteiriyot. He has to wait Shiva Nikiyim before he is Tahor. But on the seventh day, he goes to the mikveh, the sun sets on the seventh day, he's completely Tahor. A Zav Baal Shlosh Riyot, he has three sightings, then he becomes a Zav that has to wait 7 days B'Nikiyon, plus he has to bring a Korban on the eighth day. So after he goes to the mikveh on the seventh day and the sun sets, he is somewhat Tahor, but not completely Tahor, he's Mechusarei Kapara, he's lacking his Korban, and he still needs to bring his Korban in order to eat in Kodoshim. So for all of these, for the Baal 1 Riyah, which is the same thing as Motzi Shechvat Zera, then in that case, if he goes to the mikveh, then that night, if the sun sets, he could eat Kodeshim that night, no problem. On the other hand, if he has a Mechusei Kapara, he cannot eat the Korban until the eighth day after he brings his Kapara. It means on the seventh day, even though after Erev Shemesh, he can eat in Truma, he can eat in Meiser Sheni, he cannot partake or participate in Kodeshim until after the eighth day, after the time period he brings his Korban. So for a Zav, it's different than a Zavah. A Zavah, who has three Riyot, has to have three Riyot on three different days, in order for a Zavah to become a Zavah Gdola, and have to wait Shiva Nikim. On the other hand, a Zav has to, either way, he either has to see three sightings, either it's over 3 days, or three sightings even on a single day. As long as he has three sightings without having Shiva Nikim, they are mitzdareif to make it into a Zav Baal Shlosh Riyot. The one exception to that rule might be what we saw earlier in the Masechta about if he has Mitzvah Yom Kippur on the seventh day, maybe then it's not Mitztarif, the Riyah that he sees on the seventh day. But otherwise, he has three Riyot without having Shiva Nikiyim, then they are Mitztarif. Zav Shirah Shtei Riyot, Shochatim Alav B'Shvi'it. Then a Zav Baal Shtei Riyot, on his seventh day, you're allowed to shech the Korban HaPesach because he will be able to eat the Korban HaPesach that night. Ra'ah Shalosh, if he saw three sightings, then Shochatim Alav B'Shmini Shalo. You can have him on his eighth day. On that day, he's allowed to bring the korban of his kapara. And that night, he'll be totally fine to eat from the korban of Pesach. Now, this is even though he has not brought his kapara yet. We saw earlier in the Masechta that bringing his kapara overrides the aseid hashlama. Even though it's asur to bring something after the tamid shel ben arbaim, only the Pesach is mutar. Nevertheless, we waive that isur so that he can eat from his korban Pesach that night. Because the assay of Korban Pesach overrides the assay of Shlomo, and we tell him bring his Mechusarei Kapara. Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom has to do with, again, with the Zavah. We've discussed this many times. Min HaTorah, a Nida who sees Dam, she is Tmeah for 7 days. Doesn't matter if she sees any more Dam or she sees Dam all 7 days, she's Tmeah for 7 days. After the seventh day, the night after the seventh day, she goes to the mikveh and she is Teorah, she's fine. She begins then to count her 11 days of Yemei Zivah. Those 11 days of Yemei Zivah. If she has a sighting for 1 day during those days, she is what you call Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Means that that day she's Tmeah. The next day she has to wait without a sighting. And if she waits without a sighting the next day, she is Torah. She has to go to the mikveh on that day, and the sun sets, and she's fine. If she sees 2 days in a row, then she's a Zavah Ktana, but she is a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Those 2 days she's Tmeah. The third day, she has to wait B'Tahara. If that whole day she's B'tahara, then she's fine. Again, she goes to the mikvah on the third day. If the sun sets without her having a sighting, she is Tehora.
Even though she saw 2 days
in a row. Yes, even though she saw 2 days in a row. If she sees 3 days in a row, then she becomes a Zavah Gdola, and she has to wait Shiva Nikiyim. So this is a case of a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. She's on her second day. So either she had a sighting 1 day, and now it's her second day, or she had a sighting 2 days in a row, and this is her third day that she's waiting B'tahara. So that night, she will be Tehora. She should be able to participate in the Korban HaPesach. So Shochatin Alea B'Sheni Shela. You can shecht on her second day. Her second day being the day that she's waiting B'Tahara, day two. Rata Shnei Yamim. If she saw it 2 days in a row, then Shochatin Alea B'Shlishi. Then you can see her on her Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, which is her third day. V'Hazava. A Zavah is a Zavah Gdola who saw 3 days in a row and had to wait Shiva Nikim. She has the same problem as a Zav Baal Shalosh Riyot. Zav Baal Shalosh Riyot, that's the way Shiva Nikiyim, plus bring a Korban. Zavah Gdola in the same position. Shiva Nikiyim, plus she has to bring a Korban. That means on the seventh day, no chance you can include her in the Korban Pesach, because she still has to bring her Korban on the eighth day. It's not going to help her. On the eighth day, you can bring her as a party to the Korban Pesach, because by that night, she should be fine. If she brings her Kapara, she should be Tehora. That's the Mishnah, pretty straightforward, based on what we know. Am Rav Yehuda Marab, Shochatin v'zorkim al tvuyom, u'mechusar kippurim. You can bring a Korban of Pesach and include as a member of the Korban of Pesach someone who is a tvuyom. Tvuyom is someone who's already gone to the mikveh and is waiting for the sun to set that day. So if they go to the mikveh and all that is between them and being tahor that night is the sun setting, they can be included in the Korban of Pesach because by that night they're going to be tahor, no problem. A mechusar kapara, on their eighth day, they have to bring their korban. Even if they have yet to bring their korban, you can bring the garment of Pesach to them and assume that they're going to bring their kapara, and they'll be able to join you that night. Ve'ein, shochadin v'zorgim al tamei sheretz. On the other hand, you're not allowed to include someone who is tamei sheretz. The Gemara will ask, a tamei sheretz is no different than a tvoyom. A tamei sheretz is tamei for that day. If you go to the mikveh, he becomes a tvoyom, and the sun sets, and he's a tahor. So what's the difference between a tamei sheretz versus the case before of tvul yom? That the Gemara will ask. Ula amar, af shochatim v'zorkim al tamei sheretz. Ula says, even a tamei sheretz, it's the same din, and you are allowed to glue them in your garment of Pesach, because they're going to be tahor by that night. Since they're going to be tahor that night, we don't worry about it. L'rav, maishna tvul yom, d'chazi l'urta. What's the difference between a tvul yom, that night he's going to be ra'ui to participate in the garment of Pesach, and tamei sheretz nami chazi l'urta? Tamei Sheretz also will be ra'oi that night to eat part of it. Says Mechusar Tvila. He's missing a Tvila. He didn't go to the mikveh yet. So now he's missing two things. He's missing going to the mikveh plus the sun setting. So that's why I don't include him. Tvul Yom Nami Mechusar Erev Shemesh. The Tvul Yom still has to wait for the sun to set. He's also missing something. Gemara says, Shimsha Memela Arva. The sun sets automatically. You don't have to push any buttons, do anything. The sun will set and you will be Tahar. It's a given. So you're right. You beat us there. Tvul Yom is different than Tumat Sheretz, because Tvul Yom, you already went to the mikveh. Tumat Sheretz, you have yet to go to the mikveh. Since you have yet to go to the mikveh, you have something standing between you. We're afraid that you're not going to go to the mikveh. We're not going to trust you. But Rav also said that Mechusei Kapara are allowed to join. Now, what are Mechusei Kapara missing? They're bringing a korban. How is that different than going to the mikveh than bringing your korban? It says, Shekino Biyado. He's holding the korban in his hand already. It says, Tamei Sheretz Nami. Hari Mikveh Lefanav. He's standing in front of the mikveh. I mean, what's the difference between the fact that he's holding a korban in his hand and the mikveh standing right in front of him? Those two are the same. You're still missing a maaseh. So the Gemara says, Dilma Pasha. Maybe it'll be a poshe and he won't get in the mikveh. Yeah, maybe he won't get the korban to the mizbeach. Gagon de Masrino de Beit Din. He gave over his korban to Beit Din. Uchad Rav Shemaya. Rav Shemaya says, Damar chazoka ein Beit Din sheo kohanim omdim michan ad sheyichlu ma'ot shebishofarot. The Beit Din of Kohanim doesn't leave the Mikdash until they empty, they drain the shofar. Shofar is the equivalent of a stucco box. It's a pushka, which was narrow at the top, wide at the bottom, for the obvious reasons why all pushkas are narrow at the top and wide at the bottom, so that they can fit a lot of money in it, but you can't get your hand in to take it back out. They will not leave the Mikdash until everything is cleaned out of there. Now, what do you mean cleaned out of there? The people who came to bring their kinim didn't actually bring the birds. They brought money and they paid for it. Now, Rashi suggests over here, Demei HaKinim Ketzuvim Hayu, that it was a fixed price for kinim. And so therefore, you knew what money to put in there. You put in the amount that you needed for your kinim, and then they went out and counted, and they figured out how many they needed to bring based on the money, because it was a fixed price for the kinim. That's the way Rashi says it. Tosafot mentions that maybe it's not so simple, because they have to wrap the money in some like saran wrap or something, because otherwise, they would mix up. How would you know which belonged to which person? Plus, okay, fine, you could say Skam for Balim. But you have to know at least that this belongs to some balim, that this is the ola and the chatat for this person. Not that I brought some money for the ola for this person or chatat for this person. So he says, even though you don't have to specify who the balim are, but you have to keep the money together, so that at least the chatat and the ola end up from that bundle of money. So based on that, you are certain, if you put your money into that shofar, done. So then you know that the korban's done, there's no longer an issue of posheya. Right, it's equivalent to memela. It's equivalent that it's going to happen no matter what. Ula Rav, based on this, that would suggest that Rav believes midoraita michse chazi. This is all a chashash midorabanan. Min haTorah, you would be allowed to shecht on a tumat sheretz, but we're afraid of him not going to the mikveh, so midorabanan, we don't allow it. Birabanan udegazru bey. The Gemara says, wait a minute, va'a amar Rav. Rav, we just saw before, says, on daf samuch, when we were dealing with the question of tumah betzibur, when you had 50-50, the tzibur was exactly 50% tamei, 50% tahorim. Rav suggested, mitamim echad mehem b'sheretz. You make one of them tamei sheretz. Wait a minute. If you make one of them a tamei sheretz, according to Rav, what did you do? Midoraito for Rav. You could have put him on there. That doesn't change the weighting of the 50%. You haven't done anything according to Rav. Ella, it must be the Rav. Midoraita nami lo chazi. Must be according to Rav. But too much sheretz is a problem in a Torah, not just a problem midrabanan. Well, now we have to revamp our understanding of Rav. It can't be a problem of Pashah that he's going to make a mistake about it, because mistake is all an issue drabanan. So what's the disqualification midoraita? This is disqualification dichtiv. Ish, ish, kiyeh tamei lenefesh. Parsha of Pesach Sheni, it says, a person who is tamei nefesh. Mi lo askinan. Aren't we dealing with the case? Shechal shvi shilo liot ber Pesach. Pasuk says he was tamei nefesh. They were tamei mate. We don't know what day of Tumat Amet they were on. Could have been they were the first day after Tumat Amet. It could have been that they're the seventh day after Tumat Amet. Dainu Tumat Sheretz. A seventh day of Tumat Amet is the equivalent of Tumat Sheretz. You've already had your sprinkling from the Parah Tumah on the third day and the seventh day in the morning. Now you're in the seventh day, and all you have to do is go to the mikveh and wait for the sun to set on your seventh day, and you're totally fine. The equivalent of Tumat Sheretz. Now the truth is, it's not exactly that way, because you derived from a higher form of Tumah there, but in essence, to get to the point of being Tahor, you're in the same position. Mikveh and Harav Shemesh. V'amar Rachmano, Nidachei. And the Torah says, push him off the Pesach Sheni. So despite the fact that there was a Tamei Mate on his seventh day, the Torah says, he is Nidcheit to the Pesach Sheni. So if that's the case, then that should be no different by Tumat Sheretz. Push him off to Pesach Sheni. How do you know that that's the case? How do you know that this Tumat Tamei that they were speaking about was the seventh day of their Tumah? How do you know that? It's a nice supposition. It's a nice proposition, but who says that that has to be the case? I could explain it otherwise. So he says, because he's similar like Rabbi Yitzchak, he also like Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar, Tmei Mei Mitzvah Hayu. They were Tmei Mei Mitzvah, they had just handled a Mei Mitzvah. Question of what that means, that they handled a Mei Mitzvah over here. Nadav Naviu would be problematic. The Gemara in other places rejects it because that happened on Rosh Chodesh. That would have been the eighth day of the Miluim was on Rosh Chodesh. And based on that, their seventh day would have been long past, right? Long past. The Ibn Ezra has an interesting shita in Chumash that the Yom HaShmini is not actually Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but actually the eighth day of Nisan. In that case, it might have relevance. But anyway, that's as an aside. But they were Tamei Meitz Mitzvah. Shechal Shvi Shalem Liot Ver Pesach Shinema. How do I know that? Because the Pasuk says in Balotcha Belo Yachlu Lasot HaPesach Vayomahu. They couldn't do that Pesach on that day. Vayomahu Udein An Yachol Lasot Aval Damachar Yacholim Lasot. The next day they would have been able to do it. Vayomahu tells me it was only that day that they were blocked from the Garden of Pesach. Had it been a day later, they would have been fine. Barmah Rachmanah Nidchu. And the Torah says, push them off the Pesach Sheni. So that's how we know it's the seventh day of their Tumah, which is the equivalent of Tumat Sheretz. That's Rav's limud for how he knows that Tamei Tumat Sheretz, you cannot bring a Korban Pesach for someone like that. It's not our Mishnah. Zav Shirat Shtei Riyot, Shokotin Alav Bishvi. My love, the Lotavio. This is your question before David. What's the story here? Did he go to the mikveh? So let's assume in our Mishnah he didn't go to the mikveh. Bishvamina Shokotim Zorchim Tamei Sheretz, because a Zav about Shtei Riyot on his seventh day is the equivalent of a Tamei Tumat Sheretz. He just has to go to the mikveh, sun sets, and everything's fine. Lo, the Tavio. He already went to the mikveh. E Tavio, my Kamashmalan. If he already went to the mikveh, what's the purpose of telling me in the Mishnah that if you went to the mikveh already, you can have your Korban Pesach brought? What? The sun's not going to set that day? Of course the sun's going to set that day. What's the Chiddush then? So, Kamashmalan, Da'afakav, the Mechusar of Shemesh, Kamashmalan, the Shimshim Emel Arvat. That's exactly what we're teaching. We're teaching you that a Mechusar Erev Shemesh is not a Ma'akev. Since it will happen automatically, it's not an issue, and we are shecht, despite the fact that you're Tamei right now, we'll still shecht on you, because we know that you'll be Tahor by tonight. Hachanami Mistabra, that makes sense. Miktani Seifa, the latter half of the Mishnah. Ra Shalosh Riyot, Shokotim Ala Bishvini. Iyamart Bishlama Zav Shrash Shtei Riyot, Shokotim Ala Bishvii. If you tell me the first case by Shtei Riyot is that you're shechtim on Shvii, to Tovio, he went already to the mikveh, then Itzrich, I need the case of Shalosh Riyot. He has to do absolutely nothing to become Tohor now. He went to the mikveh already. All he has to do is wait. Time. That he's missing a maaseh. He has to bring his karbanot. Maybe there I wouldn't include him. Mechusar kabara, lo. Even though he's missing that, we shecht on him. So that's what the chiddush or the progression of the mission is. The first case is he already went to the mikveh, and the chiddush there is that Harav Shemesh is not ma'akev. The second case in the Mishnah is a case where he's mechusar matzah. He has to bring a korban, and we're going to say there it's also not makev, and that's a progression. But Eli Amar to Rashi Riyot b'Shvi'i. If you tell me the case where he only had two riyot and it's the seventh day, the lo tavil, he didn't go to the mikveh, Rashi Shalosh b'Shmini lomali. Then what do I need the next case for? The case of Shvi'i is already a case where he's mechusar matzah. He has to go to the mikveh, and so he's mechusar matzah, and we say it's okay. Then certainly by Shmini, where he's mechusar matzah, also he can go. You don't need two cases now. Hashi Yish Lamar, Rosh, Dei Riyot, Peshvi, Delo Tovio, the Tamei Ma'alyo, who is a full-fledged person who's Tamei, Shachatinim Zarkinan Ilavei, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to shacht on him, Rosh Alosh Bishmini, the Toviole Bishvi, he already went to the mikveh, so he's already, and he had a hair of Shemesh, the Klisha Tuma, that his Tuma is already a lower form of Tuma, he's allowed to eat Chuma, he's allowed to eat from Maisur Sheini, then Lo Koshukain, the Shachatinim Zarkinan Ilavei, certainly you would shacht on him. Elav Shma Mino, you would conclude from our Mishnah, Rosh de Riyo Bishvi, the Shachtin and Ilavei, the Tovil. It's a case where he already went to the mikveh. So that's why there's a chiddush in the progression of the Mishnah.
Is there any different quality of requiring the masa between the tefillah and the kar?
So I would have said yes. The Gemara does not say that. The Gemara is going to reject it for a different reason. I would have rejected it for your reason. Which is, I would say, yeah, there's a difference. When is Tumas Chamura? He's more likely to go to the mikveh to remove his Tumah because he doesn't want to remain in this elevated state of Tumah.
It's also a lot easier to go to the mikveh, though.
Right, it's also easier to get to a mikveh. On the other hand, by Mechusar Kapara, where it's a lighter form of Tumah, there he may be more negligent in doing it, and there we might say he's Mechusar Maaseh. I would have said that to reject it. The Gemara does not say that. The Gemara rejects it for a different reason. Right, there's much more involved in bringing a Karban. So Gemara says, lo. The case of the Mishnah is where he didn't go to the mikveh. Itzrich. On Shvi'i, it's in his control. Since it's in his control, we assume that the masa gets done. It's not in his control, because he has to give it over to the Kohanim. So he's dependent on others to get this done. We would maybe think that the Kohanim wouldn't handle this situation, because they don't have as much of a vested interest in this. So we have Kamash Mon like Rosh Maya before, who says that you can depend on this Beit Din Shel Kohanim, they're not going to leave there till everything's cleared out. And that's the progression in the Mishnah. Both of them are Mechusar Maaseh, but one is a Mechusar Maaseh where you're in control, and the other one is a Mechusar Maaseh when you're not in control. So I would have thought the one where you're in control, fine, we'll shecht on you. The one where you're not in control, we wouldn't shecht on you. The Chiddush is that you can even shecht on that case, because we rely on the Beit Din Shel Kohanim. That's the way the Gemara rejects the progression of the Mishnah. So that means our Mishnah could be either way. Our Mishnah could be either where you went to Mikvah first, or he didn't go to the mikveh. Right. So you can explain it either way. So Rav will always obviously explain it in a case where he went to the mikveh already. And Abula will explain it in a case where he didn't go to the mikveh, because that'll be equivalent of Tumat Sheretz. Alright, next piece here. Vazava Shochtim. Tani Tana Kameid Rav Adar Bava. They brought a brayta before Rav Adar Bava. Zava Shochtim Alea Bishvi Ishala. You can check on a Zava Gdola on her seventh day. Amar Le, Zava Bishvi Ishala Mi Chazya. A Zava on her seventh day? Not a chance. Even according to the one who says you can shecht on a tamei sheretz, hani milei tamei sheretz, the chazi l'orta, because that night they are tahor. Ha adamachar, the matzir kapara lo chazya. She still has her korban on the eighth day. There's nobody who says that the seventh day for a zavag dola is okay to bring the korban for her. Ema bishmini. You have to amend that bright to say bishmini, which is exactly what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says you can bring it on the zavah on her shmini, ishala. Pshita. Okay, then what's the chiddush? It's this equivalent to mechusar kapara now. Ma'udatemek given the mechusar kapara lo. So maybe I would touch mechusar kapara is not. K'mashmolan k'rav shmaya. That we hold like v'shmaya that we do depend on the kohanim. Ravina amar nida. When it came to nida, tana ta kamei. V'anida shokhadina lea b'shvi'i. A nida you can bring for her on her seventh day. Amalei nida b'shvi'i michazio. A nida on the seventh day, she's not re'uya. Even according to the one who says that you can bring it on a tamei sheretz, meaning it's the last day, bring him. The chazi l'orta, that's because they are re'uyim for the korban that night, to eat it. Aval nida l'orta d'shvihu d'tavlo. On a nida, nida is different than all other tumot. All other tumot, you go to the mikveh during the day, the sun sets, and you are tahor. A nida does not go to the mikveh until the night, after her seventh day. On the seventh day, she can't go to the mikveh yet. So therefore, she does not become tahor by the night of the seventh. She has to go to the mikveh on that night before she is tahorah. You can't go to the mikveh on the seventh day and say when the sun sets, she's automatically
tahorah. So when tefillah comes,
she's still a nida. Aval nida l'or to the shviyu, the tavla, ad shmini, da'av da'er shemesh lo chazio. Until the eighth day, when the sun sets, She is not ri'uya. So that's not possible that you bring a nida on her seventh day, that you're bringing a korban for her. What's very interesting over here, you know, Rashi explains it here, that by nida doraita, that she ain't no sefer nikiyim el shiv'a, im yimei ri'ata, she doesn't have to do shiva nikiyim. That's all an imposition that we did. It's a chumrah, that we were machmir al benot Yisrael, that benot Yisrael accepted upon themselves, that everybody waits like a zavag dola for the fear that will mix up between nida and zavag dola. So today everybody waits shiva nikiyim. But in time of Armina Torah, he didn't have to wait shiva nikiyim. He had 7 days of tumah. Eino tovelad ad achar shkiyat hachama. She only goes to mikveh after nightfall. Shel shvi ve'erev shemesh to bedida lo abiyad machar. And her erev shemesh is not till the next night. What's interesting is if you go to Daf Kuf Yud Bet, Amud Bet here in our Masechta, and you look in Rashi there is very difficult, but even leaving out Rashi, the Rashbam, who is there, the Rashbam over there says, Nida Doraita, she goes to the mikveh that night, and she can be together with her husband that night. She doesn't have to wait for Erev Shemesh the subsequent night. So here it's not clear what this Erev Shemesh is for. That might be for Kodashim. In order to participate in Kodashim, she has to wait for Erev Shemesh. But as far as her husband is concerned, she's muteret that night to be together with her husband after she goes to the mikveh. Over there on Kuf Yud Bet Amud Bet, the Gemara talks from Rabbi Yishuv and Rabbi Yossi, had a chumrah that if she saw Dam on the seventh day, she should wait, not be together with her husband that night because she had Mayan Patuach. But that's a chumrah of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. But midoraita, technically she go to the mikveh, she's ruuya for her husband that night. So what you have to say is that we differentiate between Bala and Kodashim. Otherwise, it should be that she's completely tore after she goes to the mikveh on the night of the seventh. That's the only way to reconcile between this and that Gemara over there. So he says, therefore he mend it to read Shmini and not Shvi'i. Because that makes sense. Ela ema b'shmini pshita. That's already pashut. Quite on 8th day, you can check on her because the sun sets and she's fine. Hashto ma zavad mikhsara kapara shoktim zokin ala b'shmini. Zavag dola, where she has to bring a korban and you can check on her. Then nidad lo mikhsara kapara. All she has to do is wait for the sun to set on 8th day. Shrikhala meimar, tishaktinim zokin ala. That's exactly what it's going to teach you. That on the 8th day, yes. And the 7th day, no, because Nida is different. It's going to teach you exactly that din, that Nida is different than any other Tumah. Because you can't do it on the 7th fir, unlike any other Tumah. Anybody has to go to the mikveh, goes to the mikveh during the day, and then the sun sets, and they're Torim. Nida v'yoledet v'latan balayla. Nida and Yoledet have to go to the mikveh at night. Yoledet because it's hukash nida, so nida is the key element here. Tatanya, yochu hei tovel mimbal jom. You would think that nida could go to mikveh during the day like anybody else. Talmud Omar, shivat yamim tiyeh benidata. The 7 days she is tmeyah, mina Torah. Those 7 days after she has the sighting of dam, then she's 7 days fully tehei benidata kol shiva. She remains tmeyah for those entire 7 days without any reduction in her level of tumah. She goes to the mikveh, then she would be a tevu yom or tevelet yom, and that would be a reduction in her tumah. That we do not allow her. It's not permissible because the Torah doesn't allow that. But Yoledet itkish lenida. And Yoledet is itkish lenida. In the beginning of Parshat Tazria, over there, it calls her kimei didat dvota. It says that her days of tumah for zachar are equivalent to her days of nida. So Yoledet has that same din, therefore she has to go to the mikveh at night. And that's the whole difference between nida and any other tumah on their final day of tumah. And final day of tumah for anyone else, they go to the mikveh and wait for sunset, it's over. For nida, she remains tumah until the last moment on that 7th day. She has to go to the mikveh after that point in time, and that's what changes the din. Okay, we'll stop over here.